My friend from Wales, Laurie R, everybody.
Oh.
The wonderful Laurie R.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you, Mark. Yes. After a build up like that, what the fuck am I going to say, really? But yes, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's lovely to see so many people as well. A lot of familiar faces. I have been thinking, I don't know why on earth I agreed to do this, only because I don't really know what I'm going to say, but I didn't prepare anything or write anything down. Just kind of in the AA type of thing anyway, just trusting whatever. But and I thought, well, maybe something will occur to me. And Mark did say I could talk about anything, and I thought, oh, that's a bit of an incentive. But now that I'm here, I don't know whether I could just talk about anything. But yeah, I mean, it is a lovely fellowship. And Jen's got a recovery day today, and then it'll be double tomorrow, as we heard. And I mean, recovery is everything, really, isn't it? Whatever substance or behavior or whatever, we're in recovery from, perhaps quite a few different things, to sort of get that, to get into recovery and to stop that those taking those substances or behaviors, or to get some sort of perspective on them is wonderful, isn't it, really? I mean, in a way, I suppose I come from Laurie alcoholic. I come from quite a long line of alcoholics in a way, or at least my mum and dad, and my mum and dad's brothers and sisters were more or less alcoholic as well, and then me and my cousins, so we were all heavy drinkers. And I suppose I always felt that my childhood was kind of torn apart in a way, marred by alcohol and what my parents did with it, but that didn't stop me from being a heavy drinker myself, if I can put it that way, a binge drinker, and it did sort of mar my adult life, as well as the sort of, childhood memories and flashbacks and things. I'm glad Mark mentioned water, because I do feel I could do with some. You see my nice cat mug? Isn't that lovely? And inside, it's got a word written inside, which I could show you if it didn't have water in it, but it says meow inside, so it's really lovely. But yes, because of my sort of binge drinking, I'd go through quite long, long periods of without drinking and not, things being all right, and then there'd be times when I would drink, and then sometimes nothing, sometimes everything would still be all right, it seemed to me, and nothing would go wrong, really, but which as somebody, but then there'd be the times when something would go wrong, and somebody once said to me, when I said something like that at a meeting, probably, it's like Russian roulette, and I thought that's right. I can't remember how many bullets there are in Russian roulette, which is a set number, but there's quite a few, isn't there, really? And there's only the one bullet that sort of kills you, and I thought, well, that is right, really. It was like Russian roulette. Emotionally, really, if you like, as well as factually. So, but yes, I mean, through my drinking, I did end up in court and, getting into trouble that way. And I did end up sort of sometimes being literally pulled up out of a literal gutter, out of the street, falling down drunk and stuff like that. And some people will be able to identify with that, but or it's equivalent, So yeah, it's to have to be sober. It's just great, isn't it? In that quiet sort of a way. But I haven't been sober very long. I haven't had a drink since June of 2019, which in my mind feels as if it's quite a long time ago, because I don't know about you, but I find time is very, the sense of time is very strange. And perhaps we're all, so subjective, isn't it? And you probably have your own take on it. But in this particular instance, 4 years ago is all it is when I add it up, get my fingers and add up. But actually, it does feel as if I've been sober a long time somehow, or I don't know whether that's because I've got sort of used to it in a good way, or whether it's sort of calmed me down or something. I don't know. It's not that long, really. I mean, I'm never going to sit here and say I've been sober for 20 years, am I? Or probably not. Anyway, I shouldn't rule that out completely, but it doesn't seem very likely. Or let's say 40 years from now, I won't be sober before. But anyway, I realise none of that, the times and the numbers don't matter, do they? But I have tried all through my life to be sober with, limited success or time limited success. I mean, I always had, there'd come a time when I wouldn't be able to sort of keep it up, sort of thing. But I don't feel a sort of strain now, as if it's something I'm just straining to keep up. I feel just differently. I suppose that's what one of the gift things that comes from being sober, isn't it? And from these meetings and various meetings and various different things that help. Is I feel more as if I can be myself now, and I feel quite a sort of nervy sort of person. It might come across in the way I talk, and I don't know, but I feel a lot calmer in recent times, which is a more self more accepting of myself. So I feel glad about that. I mean, it's take me. It's taken a long time. I don't know really, but to reach this point. But I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I hope I'm not judging myself, I don't think. But although I am very prone to that. I suppose we all are really, self-judgment and self-blame. But I feel less of that in recent times. Also, in my life, I had trouble with my nerves, to sort of put it in like shorthand, anxiety and depression, especially I think anxiety. And I feel a lot less of that these days. I feel much more able to do stuff that I would have not. Wouldn't have done before, perhaps because of anxiety would have prevented me, or I'd have allowed it to prevent me. I mean, at one time I used to wake up virtually every morning, paralyzed with anxiety, and with no, with n not necessarily a thought triggering it, this thought or that thought. I mean, when it's anxiety without a thought, I find it. It's worse in a way because it's just sort of paralyzing. I was, all sort of in my, from the neck down, all down where my breath is, all paralyzed, and my head funny. And it was as if my abdomen sort of turned to lead, type of a feeling, but that was that sort of anxiety. And then sometimes there would be negative th thoughts as well. Which I suppose it's something to get my teeth into if I could. And then sometimes, but I still, and the moment I get that feeling still, but I don't get it like every day or nearly every day, which I'm glad of. And sometimes now, when I feel that way, I have a sort of thought that comes, I don't quite know where it comes from, that, well, not a thought, really. It's a sort of another feeling in a way that this isn't here to stay. It's I'm really feeling bad, But it's not the last word, and it won't last forever, type of a feeling. And sometimes it, then it starts. Sometimes it can start to lift, you know. But also, I've just found, just sort of things like, you know, getting out of bed and like going to the bathroom, and then going and putting the kettle on and putting some toast on, stuff like that. I find that helps me to start to come out of it, which is it's one of the things I've learned recently, is that sometimes it's just small things like get when I'm on my once I get on my feet, just being vertical can make a difference to how I'm feeling, and then walking a little bit can just make that difference, which is you might seem really simple to you, and I suppose it is, but it's something I feel I've learned, and I now try to remember it and act, you know, act on it. Think, oh, just do something like that, put the kettle on or something, and it does help me. I don't know about you. I don't know what helps you, but and the other thing, it's not just sort of lying there and letting that feeling take over. And that's where having to go to the loo is a great thing for me, because in the end, you've got to go to the loo no matter how anxious you feel, or I feel, I should say. And then, so that involves walking, doesn't it? And moving around. And so that's the other, another feeling I get, which is, I do get, is it's not exactly suicidal, I don't think, because it's similar. But I think suicidal probably means, you know, wanting to end it all, I suppose, something like that. I might be wrong, but I don't feel that, because I couldn't do that to my partner, and then if I didn't have him, I'd probably think of you know, my sisters, my brother, other and friends, different other people who love me as well. But anyway, you know, and I wouldn't know how to do it anyway. We have got a level crossing very near where I live. It's a pedestrian one. You climb over a stile, and then it says stop, look, listen, you know. And but you could never, obviously, could never do that to a train driver. So anyway, but the feeling though is, I wish I wasn't here. Probably, I wish I was out of it, because that then that brings an end to the anxiety. But it's quite a strong sort of nihilist feel like that, for hours and hours on end, or days on end, all the anxious feeling. I don't feel it for ages and ages. It does sort of.
Take your
Recording.
time, Laurie. Fucking, you're
Oh.
doing great. Everyone
Oh.
was like fucking
Oh.
hating me and Kevin for interrupting you.
Oh.
Maybe
Oh.
you're back.
But I thought maybe it's the universe saying, Laurie, shut the fuck up. But probably I did really say enough, didn't I? You know. And
Keep going, lad.
maybe,
You're about throwing yourself in front of a train there. I want to hear how
all
you
right,
survived
yeah,
that.
oh yeah, and then after that, I suddenly went, you know, didn't I, without a train. Well, I won't say much more then, but I was going to mention, you know, I do like to do sort of mindfulness, you know, where you what Thich Nhat Hanh says, you know, like you're drinking a cup of tea and you're mindful of it, you know, the sort of. And I try and do everything I do mindfully. Obviously, you know, just I don't. Obviously, you know that that doesn't happen all the time, but once occasionally it does. But it does help me. But the other thing, as well as mindfulness, which is more that sort of Zen sort of thing, although in a way, although it's been taken up now, hasn't it? Secularly, and people don't know it's anything to do with Buddhism, which I'm really glad about, because it could. It could put people off, couldn't it, really? There's no need to know about that. But Bangor University, the University of Wales, Bangor College, they do mindfulness courses, and it's totally secular, and they do research. And so I find that helpful. And the other thing I find helpful is, I don't know whether you've come across the mantra Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. You probably, a lot of you have, but anyway, from Nichiren Buddhism. But somehow I've really latched onto that. I really find it very, very helpful. And I think there's something about singing and using your voice, for me, that's very helpful. And you know, and sort of, it might as well be Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. Oh, that wasn't a hard sell, was it? I also like Om as well. which somebody once introduced me to Om, just somebody I met in a forest, which is so, it's like sounds like Buddha really. But anyway, he told me about this Om thing, and we just sat there and chanted it for a while. So I do like that, and I do that out of the memory of him. But I really find Nam-myoho Renge-kyo fucking great. So yeah, so no, I should listen to the universe really, and shut the fuck up now. But it's really good to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to open my mouth, Mark. As you could see, I'm very, very shy, and I don't have much to say. And I would just probably go on and on and on, but for this machine. So thank you very much. I look forward to hearing everybody.